Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective. Hi there. I am your sometimes humble host. My name is Mark Congleton. Glad you're along today. Thanks for joining me on this daily adventure into the land of absurdity, which is the news, politics, and life in general here in the United States and sometimes around the world. It's good to have you along. I hope you so far have had a good day, wherever or whenever that day may be happening. To those of you joining on Facebook Live, good morning. Thank you for being there. For those of you listening via podcast at some time in the future, it's good to have you along. Say hello to Marty McFly for me. It has been a bizarre week in our little neighborhood, has it not? I'm telling you, Joe Biden has declared his candidacy. The media has embraced him giddily. He's running. And he will be on The View today with The View shrews. And they will embrace him and talk about how wonderful he is and how evil Donald Trump is. And he will pretend to be diplomatic and presidential. But this man launched his campaign, his presidential campaign, on the foundation of a bald-faced lie, which has been disproven again and again and again, which just goes to show he is relying on the ignorance and stupidity of a certain group of people to propel him forward. And we will see how that works. There's a lot of stuff that's been happening this week. And one of the things that's happened this week that I think is extremely interesting and shows, it actually illustrates just exactly how out of touch some people really are and what they choose to embrace and how it's damaging to people who don't share their beliefs. And that is this thing about vaccinations. I understand that as a parent, you're concerned about your child's well-being. I understand that. I get that completely. I understand that you are concerned about your child being injected with things which may cause them to have health issues, such as autism. I get that. But when you spread this information without sourcing correctly or doing enough due diligence on the topic, and you frighten other people into believing something that isn't 100% true, then you are going to cause a problem. We're watching that happen right now, politically speaking, in our country, when there are people across our country that believe bizarre things. Let's take it out of the realm of politics for a moment. There are actually people living among us in 2019, the year 2019. We're living in the 21st century. There are people who refuse to believe that the earth is round. If there are people who refuse to believe the earth is round, there are people who will believe anything. And as a result of people believing anything they see online, especially when they are prone to being nervous, anxiety prone, or distrustful of just everything, we have an issue like this one. There is a nationwide outbreak of measles. Measles. Something that we eliminated, we declared to be eliminated almost 20 years ago. Measles. A nationwide measles outbreak has led health officials to quarantine dozens of people at two Los Angeles universities. How about that? And there's more. There's more. The U.S. has had outbreaks of diseases that are completely preventable by vaccines, including measles. According to the Associated Press, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said 695 cases had been reported in 22 states this year as of Wednesday afternoon. That was up from 626 reported Monday and makes this the nation's worst year for measles since 1994, with 8 months still to go in the year 2019. There were 963 cases in 1994. We're probably going to bypass that, go right past it. Roughly three quarters of this year's illnesses in the U.S. have been in New York State, mainly in two ultra-Orthodox Jewish communities in Brooklyn and suburban Rockland County. Most of those cases have been in unvaccinated people. Now, the Associated Press has tried to focus the outbreak on Orthodox Jewish communities. Brooklyn officials place the blame mostly on voluntarily unvaccinated children, mostly from upper-class white residents of Brooklyn. This is according to the Daily Wire's Emily Zanotti. The AP reported the number of cases could climb even higher thanks to misinformation and fear-mongering about vaccines causing autism. The measles, mumps, rubella, the MMR vaccine, has been around since the 60s, and measles had been essentially wiped out by the year 2000. But then, the claims about the vaccine causing autism started, and the disease has made a comeback. The Associated Press mentions New York State as being the major offender, but there's also an outbreak in Washington State. Back in February, hundreds of people gathered in the state capitol to protest a bill that would have required parents to get their children, the MMR vaccine. They showed up to protest. I get it, as I said, I get it, you're concerned. But this is measles, mumps, rubella. And we've proven that without the vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella begins to spread again. Measles is so contagious that an unvaccinated person has a 90% chance of catching the disease if they're near someone who has it. They don't have to be in contact with them. They don't have to hug them. They don't have to shake their hand. They just have to be somewhere nearby. The virus can survive for up to 2 hours in a room where an infected person sneezed. New York residents have also attempted to protest a requirement for the vaccine by way of legal complaint. Monday, a New York City judge dismissed the complaint, which was filed on behalf of parents who didn't want to vaccinate their children. New York had issued an emergency order for children in multiple zip codes to get vaccinated to try and stop the spread of the disease. Parents who objected to the order claimed it violated their constitutional rights, but a judge dismissed that argument. Once again, I get it. I understand. But the point is, you're ignoring the reality and you're refusing to do something to protect your children and the children at your children's school and any adults who may have missed the vaccination as well. The New York City judge wrote, a fireman need not obtain the informed consent of the owner before extinguishing a house fire. Vaccination is known to extinguish the fire of contagion. Constitutional experts say that sometimes serious health concerns can outweigh certain constitutional rights. A law professor told Newsday, there has never been a state mandatory vaccination law struck down because of the freedom of religion aspect of the First Amendment. A century of jurisprudence continues to support mandatory vaccines in a variety of contexts. So the courts, whether you agree or disagree, are on the side of making sure that what we have established will stamp out a disease is still a standard. And we have people who just choose to ignore and choose to believe the panic. And again, I get it. I understand you're concerned about autism, but you need to do your research. I know I have also said that vaccinations, like this and the government campaigns for vaccination are a one-size-fits-all solution, and nothing one-size-fits-all really ever fits. This is my position. This is where I stand on the issue. But common sense dictates that you consult with your physician, you consult with your doctor. If you're really concerned with it, you do the tests necessary and find out if anything in the vaccine is going to harm your child. if you're that concerned about it. But when you insist on removing your child from the loop, and as a result, they catch something and spread it to many, many others, that's a problem. And as a result, now health officials have chosen to quarantine dozens of people at two Los Angeles universities. The quarantine affects the University of California, Los Angeles, that's UCLA, and California State University, Los Angeles, that's Cal State, LA, and comes as the United States battles the highest number of measles cases since the country declared the virus eliminated in the year 2000. The people ordered quarantined at two California campuses were exposed to measles and could not provide evidence they had been immunized against the disease. This is according to a statement from the LA County Department of Public Health. The United States has confirmed 695 cases of measles, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, with many of those cases in the states of New York and Washington, as we've already covered. California health officials have said the state has confirmed 38 measles cases, pointing to a new challenge in their work to contain the disease, which includes the quarantines of Cal State LA and UCLA. The Department of Public Health said in a statement, both universities are assisting with the implementation of quarantine orders and determining how best to support students who must be quarantined and who live on campus. The quarantine at Cal State LA is related to a measles exposure believed to have occurred in a library on April 11th. That's what the university says in a statement. The quarantine affects 198 Cal State LA employees who were at the library, including 71 employees who were also students. At UCLA, 119 students and 8 staff members who were exposed to measles at the campus earlier this month and couldn't provide proof of immunity were ordered quarantined on Wednesday. Since then, officials have released 45 people from the U.S. UCLA quarantine after establishing they had immunity to measles. U.S. public health officials have blamed the nationwide outbreak, which coincides with a global rise in the prevalence of the disease, in part on the spread of misinformation about the safety of vaccines. Although the disease was eliminated from the country in 2000, meaning the virus was no longer continually present year-round, outbreaks still happen via travelers coming from countries where measles is still common. This is according to the CDC. The virus can lead to deadly complications, but no measles deaths have been reported in the latest outbreaks. So we're seeing an outbreak of a disease which has been basically non-existent in our society on a serious threat level for 2 decades because people have chosen to believe something that they saw online. There is a lot of ignorance. And it is intentional ignorance, I believe. People choose to believe the most bizarre things. The most bizarre things. Like I said, there are those who believe the earth is flat. There are those who believe we never landed on the moon. There are those who believe Barack Obama was a good president. But when it comes to the point where you believe something just because your mommy blogger said it was true, you need to do a little more research. Do some digging. Find out. And yes, as I've said, one-size-fits-all government programs are never one-size-fits-all. And I've also said that most of the problems that we have in our country were caused by government stepping in to play the hero to fix problems. They come in and fix a problem, and they make it worse. It's like that old childhood rhyme about the old lady who swallowed a fly. She swallowed a fly, and her solution was to swallow a spider, and her solution to that was to swallow something else, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And she still got her problem is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's how government operates. Some hero politician steps in to solve a problem, and their solution to the problem, because people are angry, because people are desperate, because people are uninformed, sounds reasonable. Yeah, let's do that. Let's fix the problem. And the solution is a bigger problem than the original problem. It happens again and again and again. And yes, that's what I've said, and I stand by that. But when it comes to something that we know works, like the vaccination for measles, it's time to delve beyond the word of the mommy bloggers and the panic spreaders and actually do a little due diligence and find out if they're telling you something that's accurate and that you can trust, rather than preventing your child from getting something that could save them and their friends from a lot of pain and inconvenience. There's more on the other side of the break when the Daily Perspective continues. You are listening to the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective. Hi there. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for being there. Thanks for spreading the love and sharing the program with your friends. Wow. You know, we talked just about exclusively about Joe Biden yesterday. And I mentioned a little while ago he's going to be on The View today. The View. The View is going to be his first official interview about his campaign. On The View. If you need any more evidence about who he's seeking to appeal to, then you need more coffee. Seriously, you just do. Because if his first interview about his campaign is going to be on a midday talk show with a group of women who are deeply deluded about the realities of life and this nation, then you know he's hoping that the ignorant, and many times the intentionally ignorant, are going to be his support base. And in order to believe him, to trust in him, to think that he is a viable candidate, then you have to believe his announcement video is true. And the problem with that is his announcement video is one gigantic lie. It's based on a debunked, disproven lie. Everything about it is false. And there's an article in the Washington Times that addresses this. It's by Charles Hurt, and I want to share that with you. And by the way, I share these links to the articles every day in the Daily Perspective newsletter. It comes right to your inbox. You just subscribe, and you get all of these links. One of the things that you discover pretty quickly is if one of the links is to the Washington Times, then you will click on it and be able to read a paragraph, maybe, and then all of a sudden they're trying to sell you a subscription, and they refuse to let you go any further. They let you see their content a certain number of times. You can click in and look at their content articles a certain number of times, and after you've done that many times, then they block you from seeing their content unless you subscribe. And that, I think, is... I understand they have to make money, right? They're trying to survive. But letting you read a little and then blocking you rather than just popping up and saying, hey, unless you're a subscriber, that's honest, I think. That's at least an honest move. And it really irritates me when I click on an article, and I still do it. I click on it and I forget, oh, yeah, that's the Washington Times. Well, I found a way around it. And that is, I use Firefox, the Firefox browser. This is just a hint. And I think it's going to continue to work. I'll let you know if it stops working. But you can also, in the Firefox browser, you can choose to open a new private window. And that private window does not report to anyone who you are, where you've been, or whatever. It doesn't allow cookies and the like. And so they can't track the number of times you visited them. And so far, it's working for me. So you might want to try that. But this article in the Washington Times by Charles Hurt says this. Even in this time of shamelessness, cheap politics, Joe Biden's presidential campaign kickoff is the most shameless and cheapest stunt of all. The guy has been in Washington and part of the problem for more than 45 years. Yet all he has to offer now is that he is not Donald Trump. Just like every single other Democrat seeking the nomination. Even more disgusting is Mr. Biden's willingness to politicize a tragic event in which three innocent people were killed in order to advance his own political career. The horrifying events in Charlottesville nearly 2 years ago, where some nut ran down an innocent woman and two state troopers were killed trying to keep the peace, have absolutely nothing to do with America's future or the presidency. But why let a travesty like that go to waste without profiting off it politically? Right, Joe? This should come as a little surprise, I suppose. After all, this is the same guy who once told an audience of black Americans in Southern Virginia, the very descendants of slaves, that Republicans would, quote, put y'all back in chains, end quote, if they failed to make sure Joe Biden got reelected as vice president. Someone please pass the hand sanitizer. Same guy also who shamelessly invoked tragedy in his own family to explain away his gross habit of groping grown women and little girls, sniffing their hair. Originally, Mr. Biden was going to actually kick off his campaign with a live appearance in Charlottesville. But someone told him that would be too tacky, even for him. So he decided to just invoke the tragedy in a video posted on the World Wide Web instead. And it was as dishonest as it was tawdry. Mr. Biden peddled the tired old lie that in the days after Heather Heyer was run down and killed by a crazed driver from Ohio, President Trump called neo-Nazi thugs in Charlottesville, quote, very fine people, end quote. This is a flat-out lie. The president repeatedly and forcefully denounced the nasty neo-Nazis. In addition, he condemned all the violent protesters. As president, something Mr. Biden has no personal experience with, Mr. Trump was talking about the larger issue that sparked violent protesters on both sides to turn a peaceful event into mayhem. Ostensibly, they were debating about what to do with a Confederate monument, a matter that has been debated endlessly for decades without incident. On both sides of that debate, Mr. Trump said, there are very fine people. But what does the truth have to do with anything anymore? After 2 years of nonstop lies from the mainstream press propped up with fantasy about collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia, why worry about cheap little lies like this? Especially if it helps Joe Biden run for president one more time. When you have no good issues to run on, try ham-fisted emotional appeals aimed at stoking up racial tensions. That's page one of the Democratic political playbook. Actually, there's one issue gaining steam inside the Democratic Party ever since presidential frontrunner Bernie Sanders proposed it. Allow violent felons to vote from prison. In other words, these people want the racist nut who killed Heather Heyer to be allowed to cast a ballot in the next election, probably canceling out the vote the young woman would have cast herself if she had not been killed. So, Joe Biden's entire campaign launch is based on something that's been thoroughly debunked. This very fine people lie that your leftist friends on social media, and I know some of you will respond to me every time I say it that way. I don't have any. I've broken ties with all of them, unfriended them all. Well, shame on you. Don't argue with them. It's fruitless. But keep them there so you can know what they're thinking. And be friendly with them, because honestly, those people are pitiful. They need some friends. Those people, they're perpetually angry and offended. They need a positive example in their life. So don't cut ties with them. They need to see reality, and the only place they're going to see it is in you. But only if you don't argue with them. Just be right. But your friends on your leftist liberal progressive friends on social media will continue to quote this out of context and inaccurately. You just need to know, in case you didn't already, that he was talking about the people who were arguing pro or con the removal of a Confederate statue. And he is right. there are some fine people on both sides of that argument. They mean well. They don't mean that they're not being vile. They're not being violent. They're not being nasty about the situation. And you and I both know people like that. They mean well, and they make their arguments from that platform. They mean well. They may be informed or misinformed, but they're not violent and nasty people like the Nazis and the group of Antifa thugs who showed up and had a fight. They're not like the people who organized the event, who just not long before, just literally weeks before, had been Obama supporters. They're not like the people who used it to their advantage, politically speaking. So they are some very fine people. They just disagree. And that's something that you and I need to remember, is that we can agree to disagree without being nasty. And that nastiness turned into death for three people that day in Charlottesville. Those people who got nasty, who got out of control, who showed up looking for a fight, were not who Donald Trump was talking about. He was talking about those people who just disagreed about the disposition of Confederate statues. That's who he was talking about. Now, our liberal, progressive, leftist friends don't want to know that, and they don't want it to be true. So when you say that, what they'll do is they'll respond with all kinds of links to articles saying otherwise. And every one of their links is based on the same lie. It doesn't share truth. And that's where you need to be, is sharing truth. If they want to argue with you, let them argue with themselves. You say what you have to say. And like I said, don't argue with them. It's like that old saying. It's like wrestling with a pig. You both get filthy, but only one of you likes it. You just don't argue with liberals online. They're going to get nasty. And the difference is, they like it. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Hey, good morning. It's the Daily Perspective, the Friday edition. Mark Congleton here. I'm the guy at the controls of the crazy train today. Hope you're having a good one. And I hope you've signed up for the Daily Perspective newsletter. That's how you get the source material I use every day. All of it, including the stuff I stacked up that I just am not going to get to. For example, San Francisco. You've probably seen the stories about San Francisco and the poop map, you know, where all the different places in the past couple of years where they've discovered human waste on sidewalks and streets and alleys and piers and rocks and all kinds of stuff by the shore. And it's just nasty. It's just disgusting. Well, there's a story that's in the stack that I'm just not going to get to today, that the government in San Francisco is more concerned about something else than they are about all this publicity about human waste and drug needles and people being mugged and all this, the stuff that San Francisco is literally going to pot. It's just going to hell in a handbasket. And they're more concerned about e-cigarettes, electronic cigarettes. That's what they're dealing with. They're dealing with legislation about electronic cigarettes, e-cigs. That's what's more important to them. I don't know. Maybe you feel the same way I do, but if I was in the government of the city of San Francisco and all of this negative publicity was going around about how nasty our city is and articles were being posted online about it's not a good idea to wear your good shoes, your new shoes, when you go to San Francisco. Wear something you can throw away. Literally, there was an article about that in the last week or so. It was one of them that I had in consideration for use and just never got around to it. But if that kind of publicity is going on, I think I'd deal with that. Considering that a great deal of San Francisco's economy is based on tourism. It's a tourist destination, or it has been a tourist destination. I've been there. It's a beautiful city. I got to spend about half a day there once. Yeah, half a day. I spent half the day driving to get there and back to where I was staying at the time, and then spent the other half of the day on Fisherman's Pier, Fisherman's Wharf, and on and doing a trolley tour and things like that, and looking around. It's a gorgeous city, beautiful place. But would I go back today? Nope. I certainly wouldn't, because they care more about bizarre, deluded, progressive standards and policies than they do about reality. So if they want to slam the door on me because I'd rather not throw a pair of shoes away after I walk their streets looking at their city, then that's up to them. They don't get my money. I won't buy the tickets to get there. I won't be paying for the trolley rides. I won't be buying a meal or two or three there. I won't be paying for hotel rooms there, because they care more about e-cigarettes. No thanks. That's one of the stories. And there are others that are in the bonus stuff, the bonus section of the newsletter today that I think you'll enjoy. So get signed up. Go to markcongleton.com, fill out the form on the right side of the page, and start receiving the daily newsletter from the Daily Perspective. Okay, let's go back to creepy Uncle Joe again. Former Vice President Joe Biden launched his third presidential campaign yesterday. He did so replaying footage of the Charlottesville tragedy. He used it to portray President Trump as a defender of white supremacists. It's all a lie. Speaking to the Daily Beast, the mother of Heather Heyer, the peaceful liberal protester murdered by one of the racist far-right demonstrators, revealed that Biden didn't let her know in advance that he was going to capitalize on the events that led to her daughter's murder. She said, "But I wasn't surprised. Most people do that sort of thing. They capitalize on whatever situation is handy. He didn't reach out to me, and he didn't mention her by name specifically, and he probably knew we don't endorse candidates." Asked specifically if she found Biden's use of the tragedy as exploitive, she said, "Since we had not spoken, I'm glad he didn't specifically mention Heather. It's not all about her. For me, what he did this morning was that he told me where he stands on one issue. Now tell us the rest of your platform. That's what I'm waiting to hear." Noting that it's been 2 years since she lost her daughter after the protests over Confederate monuments in Charlottesville turned violent, she said she's moving forward. She says, "I still agree for my daughter, but I have a realistic understanding that this was a public event and people will use it however it suits them. It's just a fact of life." She also offered some advice to President Trump, who received criticism for his initial response to the tragedy, saying he should apply the same thought processes I try to apply for myself. Think before you speak, always tell the truth, and be accountable for your actions. Somebody needs to show her the actual video of him having that confrontation with a member of the press who keeps trying to put those words in his mouth. And him explaining, "That's not what I said. That's not what I said. I was talking about the people who showed up to peacefully protest. I wasn't talking about these groups of nuts." She needs to see that. Whether she'll believe it or not, because she's a leftist, I doubt. And Biden's announcement video begins, of course, with that infamous footage from the Charlottesville rallies, including video of right-wing demonstrators carrying tiki torches the night before the untimely ultimate deadly rally, and others wearing combat gear and flying Nazi and Confederate flags on the day of the tragic incident. He describes the scene in lurid detail, citing their crazed faces and veins bulging as they bore the fangs of racism, chanting the same anti-Semitic bile heard across Europe in the 30s. What he doesn't say is it was all organized by somebody who had just weeks before been an Obama supporter. He then turns the focus to Trump's response by citing a quote of quote, "Trump's critics have used repeatedly to portray the president as a defender of white supremacy." And then you know the rest. It's all a lie. But the mother of the young lady who was killed wasn't consulted. Well, that's how things go. Wow. It's interesting. Biden reaches out to Anita Hill, of all people, to try to cover his tracks there with her. But one of the people who was killed as a result of the incident he's using in his video, this is someone he actually should have reached out to. He should have also reached out to the families of the officers who were killed. But I think he and his peeps knew that they would not have accepted anything he had to say. So better to ask for forgiveness than permission, I guess. And as for his video, his campaign launch video, this morning, if you follow the Mark and Mac Show or the Daily Perspective on Facebook, you saw that I posted an alternate version this morning that somebody very clever came up with that actually is a more truthful view. Now, I'm not going to play you the audio of it. It's not, the mix makes it very difficult to hear the audio of Biden speaking and the substitutions that were put in there to clarify and make it more truthful. But the version does clarify things and make it much more truthful. So go check the Mark and Mac Show page on Facebook or the Daily Perspective page, and you'll see the video. I'll put a link in the show notes today as well. Okay. All right. Now, moving forward, this shouldn't come as a big surprise, but Andrea Mitchell is apparently in love with Joe Biden. I don't get it. Yesterday morning, NBC's Today Show cheered former Vice President Joe Biden officially entering the 2020 presidential race and delighted in him taking direct aim at President Trump with a nasty campaign video. Correspondent Andrea Mitchell was particularly enthralled, touting the dramatic video using images from the Charlottesville white supremacist march. Of course, once again, they're all cheering on something that is all based on an absolute lie. Quote, he's running. Former Vice President Joe Biden enters the 2020 campaign just this morning and takes direct aim at the president. That's what co-host Savannah Guthrie excitedly proclaimed at the top of the broadcast. Minutes later, she introduced the story, noting Biden using a sharply worded video on Twitter to announce his long-awaited decision. Mitchell began the report by declaring, this time the 76-year-old former vice president plunging into the youngest, largest, most diverse primary field in history and saying the country is in the battle for the soul of the nation. He says because of the Trump presidency. Just a moment. The soul of the nation? Aren't these people who deny the existence of God, who deny the existence of a spiritual life? Aren't these people who deny the existence of the soul of mankind, of man? But the nation can have a soul? A clip ran of the campaign video in which Biden warned, quote, if we give Donald Trump 8 years in the White House, he will forever and fundamentally alter the character of this nation, who we are. Mitchell gushed over the attack ad, quote, in a dramatic campaign video using images from the Charlottesville white supremacist march, the former vice president saying President Trump shocked the conscience of the nation by saying there were some very fine people on both sides. Just more beating the horse that never existed. Another soundbite played of Biden fear-mongering, and in that moment I knew the threat to this nation was unlike any I'd ever seen in my lifetime. We are in a battle for the soul of this nation. I believe history will look back on 4 years of this president and all he embraces as an aberrant moment in time. From Joe's perspective, this is true. From someone who has spent 45 years working inside the sewer of the DC Beltway, as one of the chief turds floating in that sewer, if you'll excuse me, of course this is Biden's perspective. Someone from outside who doesn't see the world the same way that these criminals in Washington, D.C. do is going to be aberrant. It's going to be out of their norm. It's going to be a shock and a threat to their existence. And in that sense, Joe actually does make sense.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
That last PSA spot, those of you getting the podcast version didn't hear it. And maybe I'll leave it in just for you. About rape and incest. It brings a thought to mind. The same people who just 6 months ago said the GOP was enabling rapists by defending Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court. Those same people are now saying that actual rapists who have been convicted and serving time in prison should be able to vote. Something for your brain to chew on this weekend. This is the Daily Perspective. We're wrapping things up. Welcome to the final segment of today's show. And we've covered some bases today. Measles, Charlottesville, Joe Biden, the press gushing over Joe Biden. One of the victims of Charlottesville, what their family and how they feel about Biden using that event in his promotion. And finally, we're going to change direction just a touch. And I want to talk about something that was on the blaze. On the blaze a couple of days ago. The Reverend Franklin Graham, son of Billy Graham, had a lot to say Wednesday to 2020 presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg over his numerous statements about the Christian faith. Isn't it interesting that politicians have a lot to say about Christianity? They tell us how Christians should behave, and they tell us how Christians are wrong. And then out of the other side of the mouth of their mouth, they pander to people who hate Christianity. But Graham was specifically responding to the South Bend, Indiana mayor's comments, you know, Mayor Pete, about God not being on the side of any political party. He tweeted, "Presidential candidate and South Bend mayor Pete Buttigieg is right. God doesn't have a political party, but God does have commandments, laws, and standards he gives to us to live by. God doesn't change. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Mayor Buttigieg says he is a gay Christian. "As a Christian, I believe the Bible, which defines homosexuality as sin, something to be repentant of, not something to be flaunted, praised, or politicized. The Bible says marriage is between a man and a woman, not two men, not two women. The core of the Christian faith is believing and following Jesus Christ," he concludes, "who God sent to be the Savior of the world, to save us from sin, to save us from hell, to save us from eternal damnation." Buttigieg has used Christianity to criticize his political opponents as part of his presidential campaign, with Vice President Mike Pence as one of his favorite targets. The presidential candidate has tried to reframe Christianity to fit the policies of the Democratic Party while questioning who is authentically Christian. And as I said, this is what they do. Talking about who is authentically Christian, framed in their misconception about what Christianity is. It happens every day. Every day. Back up to what he said about God not having a political party. I hear and see people online on a regular basis, almost daily, claiming that God is on their side. And I think it's something that's very important to remember, and that is that God doesn't pick sides.
You're the one who has to pick sides. Are you on God's side or not? See, God establishes principles, values. That's what something Franklin Graham said. He establishes values and principles, commandments, laws, standards. He gives them to us to live by. Because he's an overbearing tyrant? No. Because he sets up guideposts and fences, guardrails. That's why. There are those who would say that if you say what Franklin Graham has said here about sin and repentance, then you are filled with hate. That's not true. Do you hate your children if you tell them not to jump off the roof of the house? No. Do you hate your children if you tell them not to do drugs? No. Do you hate your children if you prevent them from hanging out with people you can see are going to be a bad influence on them? No. You don't hate. You love. You protect. You guide. That's the nature of God. But at the same time, he gives you your own free will, allows you to make choices. I've used the illustration in the past about cars. You buy a new car, if you want to tinker with it, you can do that. You're going to void the warranty, but you can tinker with it. You can modify it. You can increase its performance, but you're going to void the warranty. When it comes to your life, you can tinker with it. You can make your own choices. Do whatever you bloody well want to do. You can. It's completely up to you. But you can't trade your life in. You're going to have to deal with the consequences of your tinkering from now on. Even after the point you decide, you know what? I think I'll follow the example of Jesus and walk that path. You're still going to be dealing with the consequences of the choices you made before that day. The people whose lives were hurt. The damage you've done to your own life and your own body. You'll still be dealing with that. So Franklin Graham isn't condemning anyone here. It's not his job. Not my job. Not your job. It's like I said about people in prison and their rights to vote the other day. They took it away from themselves. You make certain decisions. You decide to walk a certain path. You make a decision. You choose that way. You choose your own consequences. Oh, but God would never do. Yes. Yes, he would. Just like any parent would say, if you do this, this is what happens. And then a good parent will follow through. If you do this, you lose this privilege. If you do that, you lose the car. If you do that, you're grounded. Why? Because you hate? No. Because you set up standards and consequences for breaking them in order to teach and to guide. People like Pete Buttigieg and others on the left, liberals, progressives, cannot allow there to be standards. And so they confuse things by telling you what standards should be. And usually, if you pay very close attention, you'll see that they never really do make any kind of logical sense. But their standards are always out of sync with reality. When they tell you that you can choose to be whatever gender you want, reality bites back and says, really? What about those X and Y chromosomes? How come it requires two genders to keep the species in existence? How can you choose to be something other than those two, if that's real? So people like the progressives and Pete Buttigieg and the rest of them, they're living in a fantasy world. And they're hoping to suck you into that fantasy world as well by defining things in a way that are not real in order to pander to those who don't want to face reality. And I'm glad that Franklin Graham just stated things as they are. As a Christian, I believe the Bible, which defines homosexuality as a sin. Something to be repented of, not something to be flaunted, praised, or politicized. Sin is when you choose to do something that you know God doesn't approve of, but you do it because you want to. Doggone it. And he's right about that. So that's something to carry into the weekend. Buttigieg and the progressives have no concept of what they're talking about. They're on the sidelines. They're armchair quarterbacks in this big game. They have nothing in the game and no point of reference, but they want to tell you how to play it. And that just doesn't work, does it? Hey, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.